From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, strange things and chasing ghosts. Here's what's happening. A four-year-old girl in Maryland was reportedly given the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine by mistake instead of the seasonal flu shot she was scheduled to receive at her local pharmacy. According to the Baltimore Sun, Victoria Oliver brought her daughter to get the flu vaccine this month, though a Walgreens pharmacist had instead administered an adult dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, which has not yet been approved by the FDA for children under 12. No word on how she's doing. As Merck & Company and Pfizer prepare to report clinical trial results for experimental COVID-19 antiviral pills, rivals are lining up with what they hope will prove to be a more potent and convenient oral treatment of their own. Pharmaceutical companies in Japan, France, Novartis say they have designed antivirals that specifically target the coronavirus while aiming to avoid potential shortcomings such as the need for multiple pills per day or known safety issues. Infectious disease experts stress that preventing COVID-19 through the use of vaccines remains still the best way to control the pandemic, they say, but they also said this disease is here to stay and more convenient treatments are needed. North Carolina's Novant Health has set to fire an estimated 175 employees this week after the group of medical professionals refused to comply with the hospital system's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. I thought we'd bring in Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, and get his thoughts on these mandates. John, I don't know. People are getting upset with this thing.
Well, they're getting upset. And Novant, you know, you want to ask yourself, well, why would a healthcare conglomerate like them want to go public and say they're going to start terminating people who don't take their vaccines? And it's really a PR move because they have a really small fraction, I think it's less than 1% of their total workforce are not vaccinated. But, you know, there is a law, a federal law, it's not HIPAA, but there is a federal law that gives every patient in the United States since 1991 the right to refuse any medication, any treatment. So the federal government's in violation of their own laws in enforcing these vaccine mandates, and it's ripe for, you know, litigation and, you know, federal action, federal suit. But I think the real issue has to do with a lot of people don't really think these vaccines are effective. You're hearing about multiple cases of breakthrough infections where people are double vaccinated, triple vaccinated, and they're still getting COVID.
That's right. I'm hearing that a lot these days.
People starting to doubt these vaccines.
Well, what are we going to do about it? I mean, what can you do? Wait for this pill? Would you take the pill?
I think about the only thing that you can do right now is you have to basically enforce the idea that if depending on the institution or the employer, that they can require people to be vaccinated, or they can make it part of their employment agreement that we just don't employ people who are not vaccinated. And I think that, you know, if they test it in the courts, you know, maybe it'll get caught, tossed out. Maybe it'll be upheld under some public health law. But I think the real bottom line is that the anti-vaxxer crowd is, you know, really losing the argument of the right of an individual to deny health care, whatever the treatment is.
Well, John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. Thank you, John. The CIA evacuated an intelligence officer serving in Serbia in recent weeks who suffered serious injuries consistent with the neurological attacks known as the Havana syndrome. The incident in the Balkans, which hasn't been previously reported, is the latest in what officials describe as a steady expansion of attacks on American spies and diplomats posted overseas by unknown assailants using what government officials and scientists suspect is some sort of directed energy source. U.S. stocks falling sharply Tuesday, with tech names dragging down the broader markets as Treasury yields traded near three-month highs and lawmakers in Washington continued their budget stalemate. Let's check in with investment advisor Charles Kappas. Chuck, it's still holding on with a thread, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, this is a big decline in the NASDAQ index since March, but that's an electronic trading platform for dealers. But the broad index is feeling real stress here. Last week, we had a big drop with concerns about the China real estate sector collapsing with Evergrande and so on, the bankruptcy there. And that's still happening, by the way. But I think this decline is more related to three things. You know, the Fed tapering coming soon, inflationary headwinds, you have the debt ceiling. The Fed is talking about reducing its $120 billion a month purchase of bonds and mortgage-backed securities, which it's been doing since June of last year. So that's $1.8 trillion, George. This is contributing, you know, to the stock market bubble, the real estate bubble, and seems like the Fed has become the buyer of last resort instead of the lender of last resort. And the markets are just having a taper tantrum, they call it, like they did in 2013. But you also have inflationary concerns that are really not transitory. As people know, you have real inflation running at 8 and 10% on flat wages and so on. Home prices are hitting new highs. Rental costs just exceeded $1,300 for the first time this year.
Jeez.
That hit a new high. Consumer goods are up. Crude oil is a three-year high. So it's just that's going to be the continuing trend with that. And then you have the debt ceiling drama right now in Washington, and we're going to have to watch this because yesterday the Senate blocked a budget bill that would have raised our debt ceiling and to December of next year. But as it stands right now, the government's going to shut down this Friday if they don't approve a new funding bill.
They're running out of time, aren't they?
Well, indeed. And Janet Yellen said, hey, any failure to suspend or raise our debt ceiling by October 18th will lead to a sovereign debt default for the first time in our history. I mean, this almost happened in August 2011 when we had another debt ceiling crisis. And S&P downgraded our U.S. credit rating for the first time. And that's you know, has remained less than AAA. So right now, the one-year Treasury bill, the credit default swap premiums have skyrocketed. What's that tell you? You know, you look at this, I've been writing about this for years. Our national debt is just unsustainable, and the U.S. is becoming uncreditworthy.
Absolutely.
And this is why the stock market's reacting. And I would remind your listeners that, you know, bad things do happen in the month of October because this is our fiscal year end. And just not living in normal times, George.
Chuck, why are house payments, house prices going crazy?
Well, it's not so
payments
much.
Are too.
The mortgage-backed securities has contributed to that because it keeps boosting $40 billion of easy money out there for Fannie Mae and, you know, the others. So the lending has gotten loose. But then you have all these, I would call it a mass migration phenomena. Everywhere I talk to my clients around the country, they say, yeah, people are moving in everywhere. And I'm going, what's going on? They're bidding up all the prices. You know, I live in a rural area, and homes up here go $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 or more. I mean, it's never seen.
I talked to an agent who said people are bidding 20% over the asking price.
They will. You have to hurry because there's a bidding war on everything.
It's crazy. How do people get that newsletter?
Yeah, just go to idpconsultinggroup.com, scroll to the bottom, and put your name in there and check out the latest one.
The name of his book is America's Financial Reckoning Day. Thanks, Chuck. Residents of Alaska's largest city often contend with bears and moose, but state officials are warning of another wild animal that has been causing problems, river otters. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says river otters have attacked people and pets in some of the city's most popular outdoor areas. Officials are asking people to be extra careful when they are around rivers, creeks, and lakes along the city's greenbelt. Earlier this month, a little 9-year-old boy was taken to an emergency room for a rabies shot after he was bitten several times near a duck pond by a river otter. My gosh. Up next, pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Now, that's the website to go to. Let's set another record. Go to the website, criticalhealthnews.com, and here's that toll-free number to call for assistance. People are there taking notes to what pharmacist Ben says. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Up next, pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs back with us. Registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist, has been compounding custom medication, formulating nutritional and skincare products, and consulting with doctors, patients since graduating from the University of Colorado back in 1986. He is now one of the chief spokespeople, along with Doc Wallach, for criticalhealthnews.com. And again, that toll-free number to call in case you're driving and you can't get all the information, just call and say, hey, this is what pharmacist Ben Fuchs was talking about. Can you tell me again? And they will. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. We will be taking your calls in about 15 minutes with pharmacist Ben Fuchs and all of next hour as well. Ben, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Good evening, George. I'm doing well. Hopefully you are, too.
I am, and I'm getting some pretty good comments from the staff of Beyond Belief at your program you did with us.
Oh, that's great. I have a lot of fun over there.
Looking forward to that, too. So what's new with you?
Well, just doing my thing. I told you I'm opening up a new pharmacy, a compounding pharmacy, and I'm back on the speaking trail, doing some talks and doing my Zoom talks and the radio programs. Lots of good stuff.
Good for you. Well, Ben's with us every 6 weeks, along with Doc Wallach, giving us tips and health tips to be sure. Emails have been flooding in, Ben, again. Some of them interesting, some of them strange, but one person is on dialysis, wants to know, can they get off it with supplements? I don't know. What do you think?
You can get off of dialysis if you make your body stronger, and supplements will help make
it. Well,
then
explain what dialysis is for people who might not know.
Oh, my. Dialysis is it's a mechanical kidney, except instead of your kidneys are the most amazing little structures. And so in order to duplicate the action of a kidney mechanically, you've got to have this heavy contraption, and you got to be strapped into it for hours a day.
How do they hook it up to you?
They just hook it up to your blood, and it acts like a kidney. Your kidney filters your blood. That's what these little
structures
do. That's their role.
So it's like an IV?
Yeah, they stick it into your blood, and your blood runs through this machine, and this machine acts like a kidney. And it's so amazing that we have these organic structures inside our body, these biological structures that are incredibly tiny relative to what they do. So tiny that in order to duplicate them mechanically, you have to have machines that are feet tall. Sometimes even I saw a show once where they had a digestive system, a mechanical digestive system, that duplicated the action of our digestive tract. It was as big as a room, an entire room, in order to digest your food. But the body, the biological system, has figured out how to do these complex things in the tiniest of spaces. But, George, it requires nutrition, it requires cleanliness, and it requires oxygen, it requires mental and emotional strategies. All the things we talk about on this program are what this biological system requires to do its work. And all we have to do, George, is we've got to feed the system, we've got to oxygenate the system, and we've got to keep the system clean. And it beggars belief that we can't give our bodies just a little bit that they're asking. And that's why supplementation is so important. Supplementation, nutritional supplementation, gives the body the raw materials it needs to do its work, and that's all. Once you give it the raw materials it needs to do its work, the body takes the ball and runs with it.
I've been taking heavy doses lately of vitamin D3,
nice,
zinc, C, turmeric, and I got to tell you, I feel fine.
When was the last time you got sick, George?
I can't remember.
Exactly. That's what's possible, George. Everybody who's listening to this program should know that what you're experiencing, George, is possible for everybody because it's in the human body's DNA. It's in the body's pedigree to be healthy, to be whole, to be resistant to disease, to be resistant to microbial attack like viruses and bacteria. We're all capable of that, George. And that's why I go on this program. That's why Doc Wallach goes on this program. That's why you sponsor us. It's because we all know inherently, those of us who are preaching this message, that we don't have to suffer. People are suffering needlessly. And it's so heartbreaking, and it's so tragic when you hear the stories, and it's equally gratifying when you hear people respond positively to all the ideas that we talk about on this program involving nutritional supplementation, as well as lifestyle strategies like exercise and movement and rest,
mm-hmm,
meditation and mental and emotional strategies.
What do you think of these pharmaceutical companies, the same ones that have been coming up with shots and vaccines for COVID-19, to come up with a pill? I find this intriguing.
Well, the pill is very interesting. It's not genetic. You know, that's the advantage of the pill. It's still, it's called a protease. These pills are.
Would you take it before COVID or during?
No, you take it. You take it when you get COVID.
Not before. Not as a preventative.
No, it's a virus. It prevents the virus. The pill works by preventing the virus from replicating. If you don't have the virus, you don't need to take the pill. But if you have the virus, they're called protease inhibitors. You may have heard this term. Remember remdesivir when that was a big thing?
Yep.
Remdesivir is a classic example of these protease inhibitors. They're enzyme inhibitors that keep the virus from replicating. But they're pills, and they're drugs, and they're toxic. And even remdesivir, you know, you can't take a lot of remdesivir because it's so toxic to the liver and kidney. So very likely that this new drug that comes out is going to be toxic as well. George, listen, our bodies can handle viruses. This is the most important message. We are bombarded.
Even those made in a laboratory, right?
Even those made in a laboratory. Yes, even the novel ones. The body has an immune system that adjusts. This is the most miraculous thing, our immune system. And one of the good things about, if there's anything, the good that's come out over the last year and a half of, or almost 2 years of this, this pandemic, is that now people are becoming aware of the idea that we have a defense system. The immune system is so brilliant. It adjusts. It learns. It's intelligent. It's responsive. So even the novel viruses, they call it the novel coronavirus, the body adjusts to it. But you got to give the body a chance to do that. And so given the right basic building blocks, the body can do its work. And that's what we want to be talking about here. When was the last time you heard some medical talking head on the news tell us about avoiding fast food? Or staying away from processed food, or sugar, or exercising, or using vitamin D or supplementation? You don't hear any
of
that stuff from the mainstream. They don't want us to know it.
It's got to come from you or Doc Wallach.
That's why we're here.
Well, I got to tell you, I would be more apt personally to take the pill than the vaccine.
Absolutely. I don't want to get into the politics of it all, but let me just say this, George. It is playing with fire to inject anything into the bloodstream through the skin. Whether you can quote the statistics about whether it works, whether it doesn't work, side effects, long term. The bottom line, there's two bottom lines here. Number one, you never want to inject anything through your skin unless you're at death's door, right into the blood, because you bypass the liver and you go right into the bloodstream. That's number one. You never want to do that unless you have absolutely no other options. And number two, it's an experiment. It's still experimental. Whether it's approved or not, it's only been around for months. We don't know. So you have an experiment, number one, and number two, you want to be completely without alternatives before you inject anything into your bloodstream through your skin, because you bypass your liver's detoxification machinery.
Amazing. Well, I want to continue talking about helping people. We're going to take calls in just a moment, Ben, and get some advice from a lot of our great listeners that you could pass on, to be sure. And thank you for what you do, by the way.
Thank you, George, and thank you for what you do, George, because not only do you allow us airtime, but your work is amazing. You are waking people up to all kinds of things, from UFOs to how the human body works to the political situation, economics, technology. Thank you for what you do.
We had a live stage show in Everett, Washington this past weekend.
I heard about
800 people, yeah. Sold out. And I have to tell you, Ben, almost overwhelmed when one of our guests, John Hogue, was talking about vaccinations.
Yeah.
Almost overwhelmingly, most of the people in that theater were opposed to it.
Well, are you surprised?
I'm talking about 80% at least,
yeah,
opposed to it.
Yeah. Well, those are the people who listen to Coast to Coast. Those,
yeah,
are the people who love what you do.
They're the smart folks.
Yes.
They're the smart folks. Did you hear that poor story that I had? I don't know. You were talking to Tom when I was doing my news, but a poor little kid got the COVID-19 vaccination instead of a flu shot by mistake.
Oh, my goodness. Is he okay?
We don't know yet.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't know.
I heard some husband, well, I think he beat up a nurse, or I don't know what he did to the nurse, because she gave the wife the COVID vaccine instead of the flu shot.
That's crazy. Well, Ben, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and take phone calls for the rest of this half hour and all of next hour. Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. And again, the toll-free number to call for assistance on things that Ben says that you might miss because you're driving or wherever you may be, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. That's the website to go to. Spend some time going to it. I go to it often and get little tips. They put some updated information on there with Doc Wallach and Ben, and it's great health news. We'll be back. And welcome back. George Norrie, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. We just need 50 of you, and we set another record, so get on over there and check out the website, criticalhealthnews.com, and also download the free app in your app store, criticalhealthnews.com. Lots of calls rolling in here, Ben. You ready?
I'm ready, George.
Let's start with Mike in Wyoming to get us started. Hello, Michael. Go ahead.
Good evening. This is a big thrill. Big fan of the show, and I'm so glad, pharmacist Ben, you're on tonight. So a month ago, my health insurance was ending, and I wanted to get a metabolic panel. So I went to my local urgent care and had my blood drawn, and about 2 days later, I got the report. All the numbers were pretty good, except my hemoglobin is about 1.4 too low on the low side. My hematocrit is about 1.0 too low on the low side. My MCH 2.1 too low, MCHC 1.6 too low, and my RDW 0.2 too high. So the PA wrote on my report, my iron level is too low. And he wrote, number one, colonoscopy, ? Number two, not eat beef. Well, I love protein.
wait, they said not to eat beef?
No, he wrote down, you know, do I not eat beef with a question mark.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the thing with iron. Iron is handled by the liver. And so it's not a simple matter of just eating iron or not eating iron. You have to make sure the liver is healthy. And we know one out of three Americans are dealing with some kind of liver problem, fatty liver disease and such.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, right? And a lot of that has to do with sugar. A lot of liver disease is part of metabolic syndrome, fatty liver. They call it non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and NAFLD. And the reason they call it non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is because it used to be that in order to have that kind of those kind of liver markers, that kind of deterioration of the liver, fatty liver, you have to be an alcoholic. Now we have people who have the same kind of liver disease that 20, 30, 40 years ago you'd have to be an alcoholic to have, just from sugar. So it's a really serious problem. And because iron is handled by the liver, you can run into iron issues if you have liver problems. And that is oftentimes missed by the medical model, who will just recommend using iron or using supplements. So what I would do is, first of all, how old are you? Sir? Mike?
I'm 58.
Okay. So chances are pretty good that you're dealing with some kind of what's called dysglycemia, messed up blood sugar. Not diabetes necessarily. Doctors will test you for diabetes, but they don't always test you for messed up or dysglycemia, messed up blood sugar. So what I would be doing in addition to, if they gave you some iron protocols, I'm not telling you not to do those, but in addition to that, I'd be treating myself as a diabetic if I were you. Now, chances are pretty good. You're noticing, do you notice that you have a little bit of weight gain in the middle? That's usually a classic sign of dysglycemia, for example, maybe some blood pressure problems. Those are classic signs of the blood sugar starting to become unstable. Personally, I use the Sweeties from Youngevity after every meal. I don't have any blood sugar issues, but I use it anyway because the Sweeties helps your body handle sugar, and secondarily will help your liver. So that would be the first thing I would think of doing is using sugar metabolizing nutrients like the Sweeties, for example. Of course, Beyond Tangy Tangerine is great because of the B vitamins. And then there's a mineral called selenium, which is not only important for blood sugar, but it's also important for the liver. You might want to consider getting on the Ultimate Selenium as well as the Ultimate Niacin. So it's not just a simple matter of dealing with the iron when you have hematocrit issues or hemoglobin issues. You have to work on the liver, which handles iron and helps the body deal with iron.
Good luck, Mike. Hope everything works out for you. What about chromium if you have high glucose?
That's the Sweeties. That's what I was saying. I use it after every meal, and I've used it after every meal for almost 20 years. Chromium is part of what's called the glucose tolerance factor, but the combination of chromium and niacin. Niacin is one of the really underappreciated, it's phenomenally important actually, but it's underappreciated for blood sugar. The combination of chromium and niacin forms something called chromium polynicotinate, which is a mouthful. But it's,
spell that. I'm kidding.
It's technically or colloquially called the glucose tolerance factor. And this combination of chromium and niacin, which is the sweeties, and the ultimate niacin, is the most important medicine, non-pharmaceutical medicine, that a diabetic or anybody who is dysglycemic can use. And that's a really important point, George. Just because you're not diagnosed officially as a diabetic doesn't mean that your blood sugar is where it needs to be. The criteria for being a diabetic is a certain number, but if you're below that number, or if you're over that number, you could still, or if you're under that number, you could still be have messed up blood sugar, but not be officially a diabetic. So it's important pretty much for everybody over the age of 40 to be treating themselves as if they were a diabetic by using the sweeties and the ultimate niacin, and of course, staying away from high glycemic or really super sweet foods, soda pop, candy, cakes, and these kinds of foods are really unnecessary. Not only a little bit if you like the taste of it, but not only are they not necessary, and not only are they damaging, but they cost you nutrients. And so most people are so scarce on their raw materials. Now you're using it. Now you're using your chromium, using your niacin to process these unnecessary foods.
Let's go to Julie in Georgia, east of the Rockies. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, George. Hi, Dr. Fuchs. I enjoy your show, George. I'm glad to get on.
Oh, you're welcome. It's not Dr. Fuchs, though. It's just Pharmacist Ben.
Oh, Pharmacist Ben. Okay. I have many health problems. I've got maybe an ulcer. I'm supposed to get H. pylori test. I've got some heart problems. I've got high blood pressure. I've got arthritis. I've got some swelling near my feet. I've got scoliosis in the spine. It's bothering me, but the stomach bothers me more than anything. What should I do?
A couple of things. First of all, you're in good company. A lot of people have these multiple symptoms, and they all can be boiled down to issues with the gut, with the digestive system. Everything follows the digestive system. I call this the triangle of disease. The first thing that breaks down, it breaks down early in our lives, sometimes even in infancy or even in the womb, is the digestive tract, the intestine. There's a lot of reasons for that. It's very interesting, but that happens very early for most people. Once that happens, you start to deal with toxicity that gets into the blood. You deal with malnourishment because you're not absorbing nutrients, changes in blood sugar. It's really off to the disease races. So you're very smart to understand that you really want to get to the core of the disease process or all of your symptoms, which is the digestive tract. It's not going to do you any good to take nutrients for the scoliosis or for the arthritis or for the swelling if you're dealing with leaky gut and you're not absorbing your nutrients. So first and foremost, get yourself on the nightly essence, the ultimate nightly essence, which is probiotics. The bacteria are the foundation of health. Just like with if you're a farmer, you know that the bacteria in the soil are the foundation for the growth of your plants. The same thing is true about your digestive system. The soil of your body is in the intestine. And the soil of your body depends on bacteria the way the soil and the earth depends on bacteria. So get yourself on the nightly essence. I'd be using the ultimate enzymes. And then this is very interesting for anybody who's dealing with any, not just digestive problems, but any health issues. You want to do what's called the elimination diet. And the elimination diet is when you take a day or two off from food. And by the way, George, you must have been talking about intermittent fasting because I know you're a big believer in that.
Yes.
Intermittent fasting is an amazing, amazing health strategy for everything. But before the elimination diet, you want to take a day or two off from food. What that'll do is it'll calm the system down, and it'll make you more sensitive to certain foods that you've been eating your whole life. For many people, I'm not saying that was you necessarily, Judy, but for many people, eat the same foods over and over again, and they don't notice that they're causing bodily or digestive distress. But when you take a day off from food, you'll notice it. You'll resensitize your body, and all of a sudden you'll be like, oh my gosh, every time I have corn, I bloat. Or every time I have bread, I don't feel so comfortable. Or every time I have asparagus, I get gassy. So you'll start to notice things that you didn't notice before. And unfortunately, it's usually your favorite foods that you have to eliminate. Once you notice the food is causing a problem, you eliminate that food. And it may be that for a while, you're just existing on vegetable juice or chicken soup. And by the way, chicken soup is one of the all-time great digestive tract.
You love that.
Love it. I've been talking about it for years. They call it bone broth now, and it's true. You could do it with beef, but chicken cartilage is amazingly valuable for many systems in the body, including the digestive system. So when I say chicken soup, I mean with the bone, not Campbell's or box soup, but really homemade chicken soup. One of the best investments anybody can make in their health is a crock pot, where you just make chicken soup, or you just steep chicken, and you don't even need to cook the chicken. You can buy a cooked chicken at Whole Foods, an organic cooked chicken, throw it in the crock pot, throw in some veggies and some water, or some beef chicken broth if you like, and spice it up, and just let it sit for 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours. Not only is it great, George, for your digestive tract, it's great for your heart, it's great for your blood vessels, and it's great for your skin. So if you're just interested in being using nutrition for vanity, it prevents wrinkles, it thickens the skin, it's sun protective, and you know what else, George? The cartilage, which, by the way, the glucogel caps from Longevity duplicate this cartilage if you don't feel like dealing with a chicken soup. The cartilage builds a part of the body called the matrix, or the extracellular matrix, that cancer loves to eat. One of the reasons cancer metastasizes is it eats this matrix, and then it spreads. So by using the glucogel caps, by using chicken soup, by using your favorite, George, hyaluronic acid supplements, you can build that matrix not only for your good digestive health and cardiovascular health and skin health, but also as a cancer preventative.
I love it. And, Julie, if you missed anything, here's that toll-free number to call. People took notes. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234, criticalhealthnews.com. We have texts and tweets. Tommy, what do you have for Ben?
Hey, Ben, this is from Maria in Kentucky. She's 73, and she wants to know what causes liver spots and how to get rid of them.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, that skin's my specialty.
And explain what liver spots are.
Well, first let me say this. There's two kinds of spots or darkening that comes on the skin. One is on the surface, and that's pigment. That's the kind of stuff that gives you a tan when you react with the sun. And that stuff can be, you can use a skin lightener to get rid of that, or maybe exfoliating agent. And I've been making products with that for many years. However, the age spots or the liver spots are different. The liver spots are deeper. They're not on the surface of the skin. They're deeper underneath, and you can't get rid of them by scrubbing or by using lightening agents. And they're very frustrating because they're really a type of pigment that's distinct from the melanin pigment reacts with the sun that makes you darker, also with cortisol and with estrogen. This is a pigment that is cellular debris. It's cellular waste. Ordinarily, when cells die or when the components die, they get drained out through the lymph and you go out of your body. But when you get older or over time, this lymphatic system starts to clog, and all this cellular debris, which is called lipofuscin, it's a very interesting word, this lipofuscin starts to build up in various parts of the body. Now, you see it on the skin, but it's building up inside the body, especially in the nervous system, in the brain, in the neurology, and also in the eyes. And this lipofuscin is really, really horrible stuff inside the body. So you can use the lipofuscin on your skin as an indicator that you're sort of rusting. Your body is burning up inside. And the key to getting rid of this stuff is to clean out the lymphatic system. We don't really talk about the lymph that much, unfortunately, because it's really important. The lymph is a blood vessel, is a circulatory system that runs parallel to your blood. But instead of blood, it carries waste in addition to nutrients and hormones and a few other things. And when you get sick, the doctor will kind of squeeze your right by your jaw, in the back of your jaw area where your neck meets your jaw, kind of. Those are called lymph nodes. If you have cancer, God forbid, like breast cancer, they'll take the lymph nodes out, because when the lymph gets clogged, it can cause all kinds of diseases. So what do you do? Well, there's a lot of ways to move that lymph. One of the best ways is to exercise. Jumping up and down on a rebounder, a mini trampoline, that's another great tool people can get use in their homes to move the lymph and to stay healthy. In fact, when you're getting sick, do you ever notice, you haven't gotten sick in a while, but for people out there who get sick, you'll notice right before you get sick, you start to feel a little sluggish and slow. That's a sign that the lymphatic system is starting to get clogged up, and that's when you want to start moving your body. So jumping up and down on a rebounder, slow, deep breathing is a great way to move the lymph. You can have lymphatic massages done, or you can use dry brushing to move the lymph. Anything you could do to move that lymphatic system is going to help drain out the old cell pigment that's called lipofuscin, and not only will it help your complexion and help your hands, but it'll also help your longevity, because, and especially your neurology, in terms of your neurology, because you'll be cleaning cleaning it out of your nerves as well.
You're a believer in breathing out of the nose as opposed to the mouth. How come?
Nose is for breathing. Mouth is for eating. Because you have receptors in the top of your nasal passage that get activated when you breathe through your nose. And those receptors are very relaxing. They're they open up blood vessels. They're vasodilating. And that's how we're intended to breathe. We have a filtering system inside our nose that we don't have in our mouth. However, if you're out of oxygen, if you really want to get a lot of oxygen, then you want to go through your mouth. But under ordinary circumstances, you really want to leverage all the filtering power and as well as the neurology in the nasal passages. And you always want to breathe into the bottom of your belly. You want your belly to expand out, because as the belly expands out and as the diaphragm sinks down, you're activating all kinds of relaxing neurology that turn on your digestive system, that relax the stress system, that help you fall asleep, that just make you feel better. So always want to belly breathe. And you want to even practice it 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Get yourself an app on your smartphone called Breathe. There's a bunch of them. I like one called Breathe, B-R-E-E-T-H. And it walks you through a breathing process. It's wonderful for longevity, for lowering your blood pressure, and just for feeling really good.
We're going to come back in just a moment with pharmacist Ben Fuchs and take a final hour of phone calls here talking about your health. His website, criticalhealthnews.com, the toll-free number to call for assistance, 1-855-949-7234.